press play.
Curtain up and now we're in.
It's time to taste in
the shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Ooh, that's a tweet. Did they book?
Who got nominated?
They optioned no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today? Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell.
Dylan, how are you? It's a twin talk.
It's a twin talk. Much requested, heavily desired.
I know. I'm so happy. This is so long overdue. There's much to discuss. And we were even just talking about something before we hit record. And I was like, wait. Save it for the pod. What was it the other day that I started reviewing for you? And I was like, oh, wait. I should just say this on air. Not that I can't say it twice, but.
It was when we recorded our Patreon the other day over the weekend, which, by the way, if anyone who's listening to this loves the Twin Talks, you get two of these a month in addition to this one, plus all the other episodes. If you're a member of Drama Plus, which is our Patreon platform, it's just bonus episodes and then access to our Instagram close friends. We make funny comments and post silly tweets and memes and things that we see out in the wild.
I feel like it's been extra funny lately. I don't know if it's because there's even more going on in the Broadway world, but we've just been silly as hell on that. Close friends, yeah. I mean.
Nothing makes me happier than engaging with other people who get it.
I know.
So if you get it too, $5 a month, link in bio.
Although you did have to remove some former Drama Plus family members. This is your reminder that, you know,
if the payment is declined, if the Patreon membership is canceled, you will be removed from the close friends. Even if you are a close friend in real life.
Forever.
I just have to keep it fair.
I know. Honest, fair everywhere. Channel 19 Action News, Cleveland, Ohio.
Is that what it is?
I think that was their slogan.
Honest, fair.
Do I look exhausted today?
Yeah, I would say you do.
I would say I do too. And it's super weird because I got great sleep last night.
Maybe you got too much
sleep.
That's
so weird.
You know, they say that's a thing. You look like maybe you've been crying a little.
Oh, I haven't.
Oh.
Although I did cry because I went to go see We Live in Time, the new Florence Pugh, Andrew Garfield movie.
Is it a rom-com?
Came out recently. I would say it's a rom-com in the style of, like, This Is Us. Is that appealing to truly anyone?
Ooh, not me.
It's nowhere near as dramatic, I will say. It's more like a British rom-com where there are so many funny moments.
Are they both British in it?
They're both British in it.
Is Flo British?
She is.
Are you sure?
Okay, Dylan, we're literally twins because I had that thought while watching it. Florence Pugh, where is she from?
I mean, Oxford, she obviously
Oxford,
had
UK.
British accent in certain movies, but I feel like more often than not, she's not in a British bag.
Midsummer, Little Women, Don't Worry, Darling. What else is she? I mean, those are like three big
ones. The Marvel movies, but she has like different accent in those.
Well, yeah, she's Russian.
Yeah.
But no, it's like British rom-com. Of course, I was thinking of About Time. That fabulous movie with Rachel McAdams. And Dylan, We Live in Time was so well done. I feel like it's a movie that normally I would just watch later on streaming. There is nothing like going to the movies. You got to focus. They were both so good. And I feel like it was a true double bill. Like they each had their own moments. They really both shined. The movie is structured in a way that I wasn't sure I was going to love at first, but it follows like three or four timelines that they jump around in. One of them is when this couple first meets. One of them is when this couple is going through her pregnancy and like leading up to the birth of their child. One of them is, well, the present day timeline, which is her finding out that a cancer that she had and then she was in remission for years has come back, and they're dealing with what she decides to do in regards to treatment and then what she wants to do with her time that she may or not have left.
Oh,
and
yeah,
that
was on the trailer.
Yeah. You find out within the first 10 minutes that her cancer's back in an aggressive way, but it doesn't linger on that because it jumps between all of them in this fascinating way that at first I was like, oh, am I still going to be as emotionally like hooked on this, knowing kind of where it's going?
And that's why you get compared it to This Is Us because obviously that has a different timeline
Yeah,
jumping.
but it had that bittersweet sense of humor.
I wonder if we've just run out of ideas.
No, Dylan, it is so good. Like watching them fall in love, watching them deal with life with their little daughter, like, and there were so many like great lines, funny lines. They're both acting down. And
That's so fun.
of course, it's like that dreamy rom-com world where they're like perfect for each other kind of thing. But that's what I want to watch on in movies. Like, it's so sweet.
And when you make it British, it's even better.
Oh my God. And Andrew's wearing like this gorgeous turquoise sweater for a lot of the scenes. And Miss Flo has so many wigs that are just coming in and out, you know, to mark the timelines, really.
Maybe a bang at one point.
There is a bang. That Miss Flo has a bang.
If you want
But
to make
there,
it someone look young in a movie, give them a bang.
of course. But there is a line where she's like, I'm 34. And I was like, girl, you look 26 at best, you know, but whatever. I'm willing to, because he looks like older, obviously. But that
Yeah.
hair transplant is
I was going to say,
fantastic.
ever since the hair transplant.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, my. His hairline is a little Teresa Giudice harsh. Like it comes down a little low, but he looks so young with it. If he had Botox done on his forehead, which he doesn't need to, but I would say he would just look even younger because his forehead lines are like very prominent. But he looks so young and they're so cute together. And I was crying my eyes out, but not at the moments you would expect.
Okay, I'm convinced. I think I'll go see it.
You need to, I can't believe you're not like in. I can't believe you're not. It's like all about like making the most of your time and
I
love
think
and
that what it
life.
is that's a movie I would probably watch at home, like you mentioned. You know, I
Oh,
feel like when I go to the
right.
theater, I
Yeah.
maybe want to be entertained in a bigger way.
It is entertaining because there's other things than just like love and cancer. Like there are storylines. Like there's professional storylines. There's, you know,
Yeah,
so
they're actually fully fleshed out characters, it sounds like.
Oh, 100. They are. They really, really are. Like, you know, so I could tell you now, like, about their lives and stuff. But anyway.
Well, speaking of British, I have to just mention, like, before I forget and we get caught up in other things, I'm absolutely loving the current season of Drag Race UK. It's the sixth season or sixth series.
Okay, so it has not shown up on any of my algorithms and
Me
none in
either.
no,
Yeah.
you either, and you're literally watching it.
Yeah.
That's weird because I'm still seeing Global All-Star stuff.
Oh, I wish I wasn't, but yes.
Wait, okay, so I'm normally like obsessed with Drag Race UK.
And it is amazing. I did feel that like the last season was really good too. So like five was really good, but
5 was good. Okay, that had Tamara
you had your
Thomas.
queen, Tamara Thomas. Yeah.
They were all like the Northern Queen. Well, season 5, of course, series 5 has the Hidden Queen, the
Right.
one who
So
was
this would have been like a year ago.
fully edited out of the show and also edited out of our podcast because we had a full conversation about it on an episode of Drama.
It's true.
And the guest wanted us to cut
I know. Okay. Wait, I don't know if we should say that. I don't know if we should say that. That's probably more
We didn't
Patreon.
say who the guest was. Out of respect to them not knowing the situation, they were like, wait, we had a conversation. I wasn't sure about the details. I don't want it in. We were like, oh, okay, cool. But anyway, so maybe our listeners haven't heard us talk about how literally obsessed I was with
Yeah.
this queen that was fired from the show after they filmed it or in the middle of filming. I don't really know how
In
they
the
did
middle
it.
of filming. Yeah. I forget if it was like in during the third episode or
Oh my
what.
God. So if y'all go back and watch Drag Race UK season 5, there's a contestant on the show who is fully competing, who is just removed from confessionals, removed from any scenes at all. Like you can truly only see like a shoulder in some shots, or you'll see them at the back of the stage during the lip sync at the end of the episode.
But someone's conveniently blocking them or something. It's really
Oh, it's
wild the way they were able to do it.
So eerie. Remember, we would be like, I'm
And so
scared.
like if the queens were all like watching like the RuPaul like video message at the beginning of the episode, normally you'd see like the full lineup. They would have to like cut them into smaller groups, like closer, tighter shots. And but I do believe in some cases that queen must have just been standing on the end of the
It is
line.
so weird
It's
how it worked
wild.
out. It's also especially, I mean, obviously great for the show that they didn't want to like taint the season with it and like make people even like talk about this queen. So we're defeating the purpose by talking about it. But the way this queen made like no impact, they didn't win challenges. They
At all. It
it
just so
didn't seem like
happened,
they
yeah.
had like a best friendship with anyone else in the show. They were just there for 3 or 4 episodes and then gone.
And they presumably weren't in the top or bottom to be given critiques in the first a few
So
episodes.
weird.
It's a medical miracle that they were able
I
to
believe we're
do
the
all
only
that.
people who know about this, who talk about this still.
No, I mean, Reddit was all a buzz. There was people who were like taking like screenshots and like circling like, oh, this shoulder here, or like an untucked like this, you know, costume piece. But I have to say,
Oh, yeah.
series six. It feels like one of those seasons where you have no idea who is going to win. Like, they're very fierce. There's drama. There's queens fighting. There's a really fierce queen named Kyren Thrax. There's a queen named Lavoie, who she was on Queen of the Universe, the second season of that, the
Oh,
Heracles drag singing competition.
which was wiped.
It was wiped. But I loved Lavoie. She's sort of like an old panto dame type queen, and she gives like Bianca Del Rio energy, I would say. Not like in like a cocky way, but in like a established, a lot of younger
Okay.
queens. I'm obsessed with this other queen named Octavia, and there's another one named Marmalade. Like, there's like really great queens that I really think that they're fun. And
Wow.
they what I was telling Hunter is, like, I feel like so often you see the promo come out for the new series and you're like, oh, that girl looks like Trixie. That girl looks like Shay. That girl looks like whoever. This season, they all feel very much unique, new, fresh queens. I will say they're all from Manchester. Like, it's like all of them, it's almost like they ran out of London. Remember that one season with all London queens? This year, it's like
Yeah.
all Manchester, which obviously they cast a bunch of queens from the same area to either create cliques or drama. So, like, it's strategic, but
Okay, you've got
oh, there's
me
also a queen
excited.
named Relisa Slaves.
Oh my.
Isn't that a wild name? I can't believe they let her. They wouldn't let Jan Sport be Jan Sport, but they have.
Relisa Slaves.
Rue often calls her Relisa Lisa or like other funny things. So,
Okay, by
it's
the
wild.
way,
It's
I
good.
looked it up and here are some of the queens from season five who they're great. Ginger Johnson, Michael Maruli. Tamara Thomas, DeeDelicious, Kate Butch, Caramel, Vicky Vivacious, Banksy, Miss Naomi Carter, and Alexis St. Pete. I feel like I remember all of them now.
I remember every single one of them, except for Alexis St. Pete. Yes, I remember her. I remember her, actually.
First
I
out,
remember her.
spoiler,
First out.
first out.
Pork chop.
Yeah.
Anyways, I think it's very good. And you mentioned Global All Stars, which is currently airing. It will air its finale this Friday by the,
Yeah.
if you're listening in real time to this episode. Who do you think deserves to be the queen of the world or global phenomenon or whatever they call her?
I know, what are they calling her?
I don't
Global
know.
phenomenon, something like that. I selfishly want it to be Alyssa Edwards. I always felt like if Alyssa Edwards is going to come back to Drag Race, there's got to be this like incredible crown to give her. So it almost feels wrong that they wouldn't be like awarding her the global queen of the world because in many ways she is a queen of the world. Like she's so international. She tours internationally. She's made such a cultural impact. But they haven't been necessarily awarding her lots of wins. I feel like Kitty St. Claus is the judge's favorite.
Kitty St. Claus.
Scott Claus. Sorry, I had Alexis St. Pete on the brain. Kitty St. Claus. She's like definitely the judge's favorite, right?
I do think she's hilarious. Like, you can tell they
Yeah.
love to play with her. Her and Queen Kong have the same number of wins. I have to say, though, Melania, or whatever you say her name, she's kind of winning my heart in a way.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Does an underdog win Global All-Stars, though, is the question. And I just don't think
No.
so.
It's like when
Ugh.
you have the first of a new franchise, you award it to somebody who will set a precedent and a tone. It's like when Canada had its first season and it was like, oh, is it going to be Priyanka or is it going to be Rita Baga? And it's like, no, obviously it's going to go to this young, fierce, exciting queen, not maybe a more established, older queen. So in this case, I do think it's going to go to Alyssa or maybe Kitty.
Yeah.
I think Queen has a lot of backlash online. There's a lot of people upset about the way that she's talked to Nelly and the way that
Oh.
she sort of handled drama. If I wasn't online, I don't know if I would have noticed it as much.
This is the first I'm
So
hearing about it, but
she's had to like issue statements, Notes app statements, apologies.
seriously?
It's frustrating that like there's the show on TV and then there's also the whole internet brigade that's happening at the same time. It was something
Yeah.
that I loved about the first time that summer of 2017 when you, me, and Hunter binged all of like the first nine seasons of Drag Race or so, or over the course of like that year we did. We didn't have internet influence. We didn't have anybody telling us what was or wasn't. If we wanted any drama or insight, we could look it up later. It was just unvarnished. And I really appreciated that. But I think I'm with you. If Alyssa wins, I'll be pleased, even though she hasn't won like the most challenges. She could still win like the finale and then.
Yeah, she's still done great. It's kind of like when Shea Coulee won All Stars, but Miss Cracker had been like cleaning up wins.
So true.
You know, it's interesting talking about like a viewing experience that isn't tainted by like what everyone else has already said about it or saying about it. It's kind of like when a show is previewing and the reviews aren't out yet.
Yeah,
Like it's
we just got to
interesting.
see a bunch of previews
Yeah.
when I visited you earlier this month.
I mean, we saw Sunset Boulevard, we saw Drag the Musical, we saw What else was previewing that week? Romeo and
Romeo and
Juliet.
Juliet.
And so it'll be this week they all
Our
open.
Town.
Oh, that's right. That hadn't opened either. So this week, or they've already opened. So now it's like, I wonder what people are
Yeah.
going to say. Will there still be excitement around certain things? Like, I know the Times didn't love Sunset Boulevard.
Right, but everyone else seemingly
Did
did.
they?
It's
Okay.
yeah.
I didn't read like a review roundup, but we're not in the business of reviewing. That's not our
We're
thing.
not. What we do say is what we love. I mean, we have maybe shared a few negative opinions over the last couple of years, and people always are first to be like, oh, wow. Oh.
I know.
Like when we shared our thoughts about one of the Tony nominated best musicals last year, in our, I think it was our Tony's recap episode, we literally looked at each other and we're like, oh, that show's never going to let us have anybody else. Because we were
And
so.
they haven't.
And as I and they haven't.
But I don't think that's why. I don't think that's why.
And I don't know if I mentioned this on the Patreon Drama Plus or if it was a main for the world to see episode, but someone once wrote on reddit.com about you and I
Oh.
that we're very positive about everything because we're afraid we'll stop getting free tickets to things.
Oh,
And I
that's
have to
so
just
funny.
say, yeah. No, just kidding. That's just who we are. That's who we were before this podcast was a thing. And it's who we're going to be long after this podcast is gone. So.
And also, there's a huge difference between like being negative and not liking something or having a different opinion on something. Like, you can not like certain things about something and still be a fan and support it. And that's, I think, me in general. Like, I'm always gonna share what I really think about things, but our podcast isn't necessarily the space where we do that. We talk to theater artists about things we love. That's like the
Right.
shtick. So,
And if
anyway,
y'all really want to analyze everything that we say, not that people do, I mean, maybe they do.
I wonder.
Read between the lines about what we don't talk about.
There you
Okay.
go.
Maybe that's the things we don't
Didn't
like,
Jen
you
Tepper
know?
once say that? Our queen Jen Tepper posted this fantastic roundup of like a Broadway season, and she said something
Yeah.
kind of similar to this that I'm just now thinking of. Maybe it's in our heads a little bit about like she's not here to spread hate.
But it was like really funny and nuanced and. That was like 2016, Connor, believe it or not. That was 8 years ago.
That can't be.
It was. It was because I was an intern for her at 54 Below at the
Wait,
time.
that line about us
But
getting free
also
tickets.
download and buy her new book,
Oh,
that's coming out in November.
we should have her back on because she came on so long ago, and I feel like there's always new stuff to say. John Howie says new stuff to say. But wait, I think it's so funny that whoever on Reddit said it's because we get free tickets to things when for the first, I don't know, 2, 3 years of this show, like we didn't even know we could. We didn't even know we could,
It's
but who cares?
so funny you say that. I was reflecting today, you know, about when things changed for us as a podcast. And I think it was 2 years ago.
Okay.
So it was when we were like in the midst of year three, and we're about to hit year three, and we were rebranding. We were working with our friend on rebranding everything, and we launched the Twin Talks beat started becoming a thing and whatnot. And it was fall 2022. And ironically, it's when we had Gavin Creel on, among other amazing folks like Aaron Tveit, Patty Murin, Krista Rodriguez came back, Joaquin Calokanko came on, among everyone else who we love and stan. But I do think that there was a tide shift around that time. And that's why it's like I'm feeling so reflective. And I know that we recently re-released our episode with Gavin, but I have to think that he was a part of that change for us.
Oh, I know. I remember saying to you that fall, because Gavin's like was like my number one, is my number one. And then we had
He
Aaron
was to
on.
you as Aaron was to me,
I
I
know
would
we were
say.
both I remember us both just saying to each other and to people, we could hang it up now. I mean, that's who we've just always wanted to talk to, these two. And we did it. And I think you're right. I think we got confidence in that. We got excited and reinvigorated by that, plus the rebrand, plus everything that was happening. I know. I still cannot believe he's gone. It's really,
I
really
know.
sad. Like, just so tragic. I couldn't help but think about him when I was watching We Live in Time.
Yeah.
That
Yeah.
whole week you were here was right after he passed. And I mean, on our minds the whole time, everybody was, as they should be, was talking about him all week, backstage, outside of theaters, in and out and around. And
Yeah, it was such a shock to the system for all of us. I mean, I know that his close friends knew that he was privately battling cancer. And obviously, we talked about this with James Scully last week. So I don't necessarily want to dwell too much.
yeah.
He wouldn't want us to either, but it's very, very sad. And I'm so glad that we had the chance to chat with him. Like it, to me, it feels like cosmic that it was 2 years ago as well.
I know. I know. He was so sweet to us. I remember he wrote down, did I say this on the James episode?
No.
He was just like a little more old fashioned. He was like so personal. Like he wrote down our email addresses afterwards to invite us to his show, Walk On Through. Like, I remember he
That's
turned
right.
off his Zoom camera so he just saw us.
Yeah.
He was so present and lovely. And I
And he gave us
know.
so much time. And also, I have to mention, thank you to Katie Rosen, who connected us with her, as he was promoting on behalf of Jay Johnson, the Halloween show, I Put a Spell on You. Gavin had like probably like what one song in that show, but he came and talked to us for like over an hour. Like, that's just so, I don't know. It's special.
Very
That's really great.
generous. Very generous. Well,
I
he cared
know.
so much about BCEFA and
Oh, yeah.
giving
So he spoke
back.
about that at the
And
end.
yeah. So if you guys have not listened to it or want to re-listen, Dylan re-shared the episode this weekend on our feed. Well, I guess we did it together.
We did it together.
We recorded a bumper. But anyway, I
Yeah.
know.
There's just been a lot of, like, I think sad stuff happening. I mean, Dame Maggie Smith also passed away, James Earl Jones. Like, I just feel like a lot of these, like, titans are leaving us, and even people that you wouldn't expect, like Gavin or, more recently, Liam Payne from One Direction.
Oh my God, I know. In my head, I was like, wait, there's someone else who just tragically passed, and it was Liam Payne. Dylan, like, shocked.
It is still shocking to me. It's documented that we're Directioners through and through. We saw
Yeah.
every single North American tour that the boys did as a group.
Yeah.
I talked about this again on our most recent Patreon episode, but we really found ourselves attached to them as we were sort of transitioning out of our teenage years and into being young adults. And it was sort of like we found this youthful joy in this boy band. And of course, it helped fan the flames of our British obsession from that age.
Oh, 100%. When we went to London for the first time, didn't we go to where they were placed together as a group on X Factor and took us a picture on the stairs?
We did
Dylan,
at Wembley
at
Arena.
Wembley Arena, because I was trying to find the picture just for my own memory last week. Because I'm like, I know we did this, I know we did this. And I didn't have it saved. I was like, Dylan must have it somewhere. But
I've got it for sure.
oh my God, I know we were obsessed with that. I think you're right. It was end of high school transitioning into college thing where we latched onto a boy band who was just all about like fun and it was youthful. And we were also like ready to come out of the closet. So I think we were just
So
like
ready, so ready.
obsessed with them, like sexually, obviously. Yeah, you were always a Nile girl.
Yeah, and
Down.
you were Harry Styles down. And I will say
No.
we've maintained that.
Kind of, right? Wouldn't you say? But
Totally.
in my concert going experiences of seeing the guys post the Nile concert that we both went to in, was it Maryland?
Yeah.
He has the best live energy, vocals, etc. The
And
Harry
his fans
ones,
aren't as insane as Harry's are.
maybe that's what it was. The Harry ones were just a little crazier, but I feel like Nile's got the longevity in him. Like
I
this,
know.
like
I'm so
old
sad we didn't get to
school.
see the show tour
Was it
over
because
the
we were at a
summer.
wedding and then in Palm Springs? Was that like the whole thing?
Just Palm Springs,
Just Palm
I
Springs.
think.
Okay. But I think
Yeah.
he was in New York when I was in Ohio for Stephen Bett's wedding.
Yes, I think
So
that's
that
what it
was it.
was. So it was a wedding in Palm Springs.
I could have life events that got in the way, but I feel like it would have just been so fun. I was actually listening to the show this morning. I liked it when it came out, but the more and more I hear it, I was like, oh, I actually like all these songs. It's a really good
I know
album.
all three of his albums are great. I'd say his most upbeat is obviously Heartbreak Weather, which was his longest era. He was supposed to do like a big arena tour with that, and then COVID hit. But
Ugh.
thinking about Liam in general, like you, I think, mentioned this when he passed shockingly a week ago that we didn't follow him as closely as the others for whatever reason. We didn't like his music as much post
No.
1D. But I mean, he
Strip
obviously
That
had
Down
like,
is a bop.
yeah, Strip That Down was fun, and he had some like fun duets. But it's was still just very sad and is obviously extremely sad that he's gone. He's our age. I think his birthday is the day before ours or the day
Yeah.
after.
One of those. Yeah, you're right.
And he obviously has a 7-year-old son. And that for me is like what's really, selfishly, what I would have loved to see them reunite as a band one day. And maybe they will. Maybe this will bring them together in a way that none of us expected them to.
Oh my God, chills.
Yeah.
That's a thought I had not. I mean, they already came together and posted their first joint statement as a group
I know.
to honor his passing. Oh God, that just gave me like a weird like heebie-jeebie, like that it's like real.
It's just sad to me that his son will grow up not knowing who his dad was. I mean, 7 years old, like, yeah, you have memories, but like to be able to grow up and know who his dad was is just like one of the most famous people in the world for a couple of years there. I mean, everyone,
Oh,
the
yeah.
shock that went through the world was crazy last Wednesday. And I mean, he will live in infamy. There's just something so tragic about fame. There's just the music industry, there's that whole 27 Club thing. I mean, he was obviously 31, but like just the idea
In
of
a
like dying
hotel.
young. Yeah, it's just
He was clearly dealing with, I know he had come out and said like he had struggled with drugs and alcohol. I don't know if he was like in recovery and then relapse or whatever. Like, I don't know if any of that information's come out, but it is just so, so sad. And a lot of the people in the industry paying tribute to him are acknowledging it's this business. It's such a huge part of the culture is the drugs and the drinking and the partying and
Yeah.
lack of mental health care and celebrity. It all plays in to each other. It's just so bad. I mean, I felt a little guilty. Like a few weeks before, Liam was at one of Niall's concerts.
Yeah.
I think that's why he was in Argentina.
Maybe.
And everyone online was dogging on him so hard because he was acting out at this concert. And it was like funny at the time. We were like, oh, Liam, oh my God, like
Yeah.
this like obnoxious behavior. But he was clearly struggling. And that's what makes it like so sad that it was just a few weeks later.
I know.
Oh God, terrible. And a lot of the lyrics in One Direction songs are weirdly about like goodbyes.
Right.
So I was listening to them throughout the last week and I was like, oh my God, I can't even do this. Like, it's so
The
sad.
only album I thought I could get through was Made in the AM, which was their final album. It was the four piece album. They didn't tour it, but I just kept thinking like, oh, I don't have as much of an emotional attachment to this album. Like I could listen to this one. He sings lead on almost all the songs, like him and Harry. He had the most incredible, strong, sexy, dare I say, voice.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
He
it's
did.
very sad, and I feel it every day in a different way because like I'm seeing it all over Twitter, old clips from their X Factor performances and interviews and TV performances, and he would have been the first one to spearhead the reunion
Oh yeah.
one day.
Ugh. Just
Rest
terrible.
in peace, Liam. Rest in peace, Gavin. All these other angels we've got now.
Anyway, we promised our listeners on our Patreon last week that we would talk about some of the shows that we got to see when you were in town a couple of weeks ago.
We teased that we saw a bunch of shows in previews. We also saw a few shows that were open. Oh, Mary, Hills of California had just opened, and then Once Upon a Mattress had been open for a while.
And last our listeners heard from us, we were talking to James Scully from Oh, Mary, and you had not seen it yet. So, Dylan, I'm literally chomping at the bit to know, what did you think of this year's cultural smash?
I really didn't know what to expect. Like, I knew that it was Cola Scola violently running around stage, being hysterical. It's that and so much more. The whole cast is amazing. I also didn't realize, and this isn't a huge spoiler, it's like told through a series of vignettes, and it's very much a melodrama at times. In like the most absurd way. Conor McNamara, James Scully, obviously Cola Scola, beyond. If you I really don't think anyone should miss it. There's two things that at least I saw when I was in town, this and Sunset Boulevard. I really don't think anyone should miss it if you're a true lover of theater and
I love it. Well, I just have to ask one other thing about O'Mary, which is that we withheld a spoiler when talking to James about his character. And we're not going to spoil it again today. But when it was revealed what was going on there, did you have like a,
I
of course, kind of
think I
reaction?
literally said
Oh, did
that to
you?
you. Yes, there was two things that there's the ending of the show too. It was just so delicious. It was incredible.
And Bellamy Young from Scandal was there.
Tilda Swinton.
President Melly Grant. Oh, yeah, Tilda. Gagged.
I so badly wanted to say to Bellamy, you can't stay out of the White House, can you?
Oh, that's so
I
good.
know. I just feel like that's so fanboy behavior.
Oh my God, I love her. We need her on Broadway.
I'd say the whole rest of the Scandal cast has ended up on Broadway. Kerry Washington, Toni Goldwin, Katie Lowes.
Wonder what a Katie
It's
Lowe's
her
do.
moment.
A waitress,
Waitress.
duh.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I know. Okay, Bellamy could be an O'Mary. She could totally be the Bianca Lee character, Louise.
Mary Chaperone,
Mary
her
Chaperone.
handler. What do they call her? Her chaperone or her?
Friend? I think she's her friend.
Something like that.
Bellamy,
Maybe.
I feel like, can do broad
And Mary's
comedy in
my
a way.
friend. And I'm Mary's friend. Bellamy. Oh, yeah. I mean, her swinging around the hooch and Scandal.
Oh, it's divine. What about a two-hander between her and Kerry Washington on Broadway?
I think that would be fabulous.
What if we did like a Three Sisters with Kerry Washington, Bellamy Young, and Katie Lowes, or Darby Stanchfield?
I think I'd prefer Darby.
You prefer Darby? Okay, yeah, because we had Katie. You know, she did Waitress. So maybe let's get Darby. Let's get Darby.
You and I are falling into this dream casting things from television.
If our listeners want to know what Dylan's talking about, go become a member of Drama Plus. On our most recent Patreon, we dreamcasted the cast of Our Town with the cast of ABC Family / Freeform's original series, Pretty Little Liars. So see what insanity we get into there. That's not normally our shtick either, is to do that kind of thing. So you have to check it out.
Yeah. We don't get into the Twitter antics normally with, you know, but I mentioned it as well as something that people cannot miss. It opened, you know, last night, hypothetically 3 days ago, if you're listening to this on Wednesday, Sunset Boulevard. Wow. I looked at you afterwards and I said, I think that was the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life.
There were moments during it when we just kind of like slowly looked at each other and made like bug eyes or like jaw slightly open because I was shaking. The sound design, the orchestra, the sound and lighting and the performances combine to really swell your emotional heartstrings.
And projections and video.
True. But oh my God. Again, hyped from London. And totally. Then you see it. And Nicole Scherzinger's surprising performance is what got me.
Well, yeah, because I think we thought it was going to be this oh, grand dame, you know, type thing. It's so layered. It's campy as can be. It's fierce. It's very well thought out. I think everything in this production is very well thought out. Jamie Lloyd mm-hmm. is, you know, masterful when it comes to reinventing.
Totally. I mean, it's also very like clarified in the way that, yes, it's minimal, but you're able to digest a lot of the information. And I keep saying this to people, but especially the scenes that take place in and around Hollywood with Tom Francis' character, where he's like, you know, meeting with the other writers and the people who work on the cruise and they're talking. There's so much singing and story and all that being pushed, but in the way that you're meant to just look at one person who's singing at a time, like it's so well directed in like your eye goes to where it's supposed to go. It really is fantastic. And the way the sound is designed that you can actually like hear and process all the words. I know that sounds stupid to say like, oh, shouldn't that just be the case with shows? It isn't always.
No, it's
so
not.
I really feel like they did such a great job.
Yes. I need to see it again. Just hearing you talk about it. We saw the 2017 revival with Glenn Close, and this is just such a different take on it.
But Nicole's amazing. Tom is incredible. I don't know how his voice sustains doing that. 8 shows a week. Like, yeah, there's Amanda Gonzalez to fill in on Tuesdays for Nicole Scherzinger, but I have no idea how Tom sings the role of Joe. Like, it's a beast. He's on stage for like all 90 minutes of Act One.
Yeah. He is amazing. We love Tom Francis. He came on our show last March, and you all will love him too if you haven't gotten the chance to meet him. And something I do want to toot our little horns about is he was saying that we were like his first podcast, and he felt like we were a good fit for him, and we made him feel very comfortable and excited to, you know, welcome him to Broadway and everything. So we love you, Tom. We're congratulations to you. I smell Tony nomination coming your way. I'm sure he's listening.
And y'all, we'll tease this too. We've got another Sunset Boulevard cast member joining us on the show next week.
We do.
So
we
get ready for that. All right. Well, we talked a lot about drag at the top of the show, and I want to bring it back because drag the musical is something else that we saw. It's like second preview.
It's second preview.
Last week. What a fun ass time.
I smell a hit. It's what I keep saying.
I keep. And you told every single cast member afterwards too.
I was like,
you got a hit.
I was like, you got a hit. You got a hit.
You were Eileen Rand and Smash being like,
mm-hmm. Well, I just felt it. And like, I could tell even at its second preview, it's going to build an audience. It's going to find just a joyful next couple of months. I know it's running into 2025. The cast is so great. Jujubee, Jan, Sport. I thought Nick Laughlin was amazing.
Yeah.
Obviously, Nick Adams. God. Alaska.
Laguna Blue. Joey McIntyre.
Yeah, and the little kid who played the...
We listed the whole cast.
We listed the whole cast. And there was an understudy that went on
in
one of the female roles. She found it like that day. They did a put-in and everything. She was beyond.
So good. So funny.
Yeah.
Great chemistry with Joey McIntyre.
Totally.
She didn't miss a beat.
No.
She really was incredible. I also love the way that they reimagined the theater space in New World Stages. I've never seen them do that for any of their shows before. And Nick, oh, I was just gonna say, Nick Adams is giving a star turn
As
as Alexis.
Alexis Gilmore.
Alexis Gilmore, what a great drag name. But no, truly loved it so much. Everyone, get a bunch of girls, get a bunch of gays, bring your mom and dad, bring everybody and go see it. And what I also love is that it is a, I don't know if this is the right way to say it, but like a mainstream representation of drag outside of the Drag Race world. Like, yes, it has Rue Girls in it, but I can't think of any other like drag shows that haven't come from like the world of Wonder Universe in the last few years that are at this level. And, you know, we had our Priscillas back in the day. We had our Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar. We've also got Drag the Musical too, which I think is even beyond this gonna do well in community theaters and across the
Oh,
world. Like,
that's so
so
true.
fun, so good.
It'll be
Everybody
something
has to go
fun
see
for
it.
like local drag scenes to put on. It'll bring people together. It's a brilliant concept. Two warring drag houses. I mean, it was great. And I agree with you. There wasn't any, you know, whereas I said the snakes eating the tail about Drag Race earlier, every season, even on this UK season, they're all quoting, look over there, and you know, all of the different lines from all the different seasons. If this was fully unique and all the jokes were amazing, the best scenes for me were like the backstage, you
Oh yeah.
know, caca-da-ca between the queens. It was great.
So funny. Oh my God. I want to go back.
We'll definitely have to go back.
I want to go back and see like half these shows, which one of them I did. We also saw Romeo and Juliet,
Yes.
and I got to go back last weekend. And y'all, it's worth it. It is so entertaining. You've all seen and heard and watched so many versions of Romeo and Juliet through the years. I would say it's closer to like the Baz Luhrmann film in a way in which they like choose an aesthetic. They're young, hot, sexy Romeo and Juliet. I love it so much. Like, Dylan, I would go back a third time.
That's saying something too, because Shakespeare can be dry, but I think you're right. And if you're going to do Shakespeare in 2024, there needs to be some put a hat on a hat for it, because it needs to be something interesting. And this whole Gen Z, the youth are fucked concept, so smart. It's about, I mean, they're what, 14? Isn't that like the age they're supposed to be?
Yes.
Or at least Juliet is young.
Yeah.
Kit Connor is a freaking superstar.
Oh my God. I mean, aside from looking unbelievable, like he looks so hot. I don't know when he became like Twunk King Kit Connor that he is. The arms, the tits, the face, the booty, the body, everything. But his acting is crazy good, like
It
so
is.
sincere.
I always say Shakespeare sounds the best coming out with a British accent. And so he delivers. The crowd is obviously there for him and Rachel Zegler. She is amazing too. And I was like, as I was watching her, I was like, God, you're a movie star. And like, this is so cool that this production is happening right now with Kit, who's a huge TV star, Netflix star, Rachel, who's, I mean, Hunger Games, West Side Story, soon Snow
Snow
White.
White.
Like, this is the perfect storm. These are the two most perfect people to be playing these parts. I really believe it.
Yeah, I know. It's so good. And there's original songs. And I want to listen to them again. I Dylan, do you think they will be releasing these songs as singles in any
Yes,
way? You do?
100%. Yes,
Oh,
yes.
I wonder if they'll do it to celebrate opening.
I would love that.
I don't want to spoil anything, but there is one that she sings that I can't. Cannot get out of my head. And I, of course, I've only seen the show twice. I've only heard the song twice. It's a bop.
But it's Jack Antonoff, so it's
And
bound bop.
true. But Rachel's gift is her voice. And I'm so glad that they let her use it in this because she is just such a strong singer. She sounded even better the second time that I saw it. And Gabby Beans is eating down
Yeah.
as Mercutio and the Friar.
The Friar, my favorite role in the show.
Well, Dylan, you did come in second place in the state of Ohio, the Shakespeare monologue competition.
First runner up. Come
Okay,
correct.
first runner up.
Come correct.
Excuse me. As Friar Lawrence doing the
It's
monologue.
true.
I'm a little gagged and I was there, but I'm like,
I was so nervous. This was so long ago, too, by the way.
you were amazing. It was like 15 years ago, maybe less.
Maybe a little bit
That was
less.
gaggy.
So, yeah, I'm definitely attached to that. And I did reprise that monologue for extra credit in one of my Shakespeare classes that I took at Ohio State with Lisa and Joey Kaiser.
So that was different than the one that I took with you freshman year. That was
Yes.
like,
I took a
because
2000 level
I
one
remember
for my
doing,
major.
I did a Juliet monologue for like extra credit. closeted gay being like, I'm gonna do Juliet.
Yeah,
Like,
yeah.
was I okay? That's so
No, the
crazy.
answer is no.
Anyway, and you and I were texting about Romeo and Juliet lines last night, which is also so corny. I cannot believe I'm admitting this. Shakespeare did that. Like, there is so much good dialogue in Romeo and Juliet. Like, under love's heavy burden, do I sink? A plague on both your houses.
I defy you, stars.
The Queen Mab monologue is so
The
good.
Queen Mab.
The scene.
Yeah.
I know the the scene when Juliet's parents are telling her that she's got to marry Paris, and it's right after, you know, cousin Tybalt has passed, and
And the nurse is perched, and
oh my God, it's so
it's
good.
so good. There's a reason why this story is told and retold and told and retold every other year in a different capacity, a different adaptation. It's so brilliant. And I really hope that people give it a chance and aren't polarized by the concept to it, because it's still the story you know and love. And it shows how timeless this tale of woe is. And I mean, obviously, there's also Anne Juliet. You could do a fun double feature.
And I have to give a huge shout out in the playbill for Romeo and Juliet. Opposite the cast page is an ad for Anne Juliet.
Amazing.
It's like so good. I love that the shows are kind of playing off each other. Didn't they do like a little collab
There was a
merch that was
hat.
either it was like cast only or something? Like, need that hat so badly.
I know.
Ooh, Rachel would be so good as Juliet in Anne Juliet.
Wow, she would complete the trifecta, you know, Maria and West Side Story, Juliet proper, and then Anne Juliet.
And then and Juliet.
Yeah, and then Anne Juliet. We also got the chance to see the brilliant Hills of California by Jez Butterworth, directed by Sam Mendes, starring Laura Donnelly, our Irish queen. I hate when people say a 3-hour movie, a 3.5-hour play, or whatever flies by, because most of the time, Connor, I think we can agree it don't. However, The Hills of California is the most brisk 3-hour play I've ever seen in my life. It was incredible.
So breezy. It was so good. I still am thinking about it.
There could have been another hour.
The way they built the world, they built the characters, you knew them by the end. Brilliant writing. Now, I didn't expect the story to take the turns that it took, which I think is also good writing.
Yeah.
Just so unexpected. The little details.
What could be a better dramatic play than the family has to come together due to a dying or dead relative? You know, it's like such a, it's an old concept, you know,
Yeah.
especially bringing siblings together. We just had the play Appropriate that was about that, you know, siblings
Yeah.
reuniting after the death of their father. In this play, the mother is actively dying. The four girls come together, multiple timelines, you know, a theme it seems to be in media. Laura Donnelly plays two characters. It's no spoiler to say that. The posters are outside the theater showing her in the different costumes. I mean, I feel like we have our Tony Best Winning Actress in a play and Best Winning Actress in a musical, and they're right across the street from each other.
Wow.
Nicole Scherzinger and Laura Donnelly.
I might agree with you. I urge you all to try to find a better lead actress in a play this season. Due to the material alone that she has to conquer, not that's not what it's about, blah 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 blah, but she nails it.
Best multiple accents.
I know, can I do my impression of her? Should I save it for like,
You could do it. Yeah.
well, she plays the mother, and then she plays another character later who has like an American accent. But Laura Donnelly, who's Irish, doing a British character's now American accent in the 70s. It's like this affected sort of American voice that's like California. And that was like a bad impression of it, but
Connor,
that's a
no,
little
that
bit the
was
vibe.
amazing. I didn't know how you were going to do it. I didn't know.
It's incredible. She is like disappearing in both the characters that you forget she's someone else the second time she's on stage. It's Tatiana Maslany in Orphan Black level of
I will say
compelling
there's
actress.
it's Chekhov's child is what I'm going to say about it, because we're told that the daughter is her mother in many ways, and then, you know, it's just
Wow. It's like how there's Chekhov's Cabaret in Oh Mary.
in America.
But no, Dylan, it's not even just Laura Donnelly. The other three sisters are given equally unique challenges in their characters.
What, Leanne Best, is that the name of the one actress that we loved? Yeah, Leanne Best played Gloria.
Black Pew.
Blackpool, and Helena Wilson as Jill.
Was she the youngest who like stuck
Yeah.
around? Okay, so I saw her yesterday
No
walking after the show, and I was starstruck. I was not expecting us to be like Hills of California standing on this podcast, but
I know. Okay, Leanne Best plays the oldest sister, Gloria, but Ophelia Lovibond plays one of the other sisters.
loved her. Listeners might know her from the series Minx.
Yes. They all sing, they laugh, they cry, they fight. It's a beautiful story about dreams and growing up and leaving dreams behind and memory. I mean, it is everything that you would love in a play put together. And it's only playing till the second or third week of December. So I urge people to give it a chance if you haven't, if you're
Seriously.
in town, if you can't get a ticket to O'Mary or Sunset or whatever, Hills of California is brilliant and it's going to come and go. But I think it will be, here we go, early Tonys talk.
Oh.
I think it will be remembered come nominations.
I literally had tears streaming down my cheeks and I didn't even realize it at the end. I was so in it and moved. The set, the smell of smoke, everything. They really just immerse you in this world, and the writing is the cherry on top. So I think it's a juggernaut. It's a juggernaut play. I wonder
Yeah.
if people like agree with us. I don't know. Did it get good reviews?
I think so. I've been so much less into reviews lately. Like last night when Sunset reviews came out was the first night of an opening all season long that I've like rushed to see what people were saying.
Yeah. Gosh, it was so good.
And then we did see Our Town, which we recapped that on our Patreon. And then we also got to see Once Upon a Mattress and so many friends of the pod.
Oh my God, that was so fun.
Will Chase, Amanda Lamont, and Nikki Renee Daniels, and they were all
Yeah,
fabulous.
and Sutton is doing broad comedy in that I have not seen her do in, I don't know if ever. I'm trying to think of when I've seen her do a big comedic
Yeah.
role. And she nailed it. Do you think Sutton will be remembered come Tonys? Because I feel like of her last few Broadway credits, this role suits her in a way that is even better than some of the others ones that she got nominated for.
Because she's Sutton, it's definitely not out of the question because she's Sutton. It's going to be obviously a tricky Nicole versus Audra, but you also are going to have the Death Becomes Her ladies. You're going to have Katie Braden and Tammy Faye,
Helen Shan.
Adina and Redwood,
Whoa.
Boop, Adrienne Warren in the last 5 years. So we'll
Can
see.
they expand it to more than five? They sometimes do, don't they?
They have. There was like seven featured actress nominations last year, but I don't want to get into Tony's.
Okay,
It's
I
too
know.
soon, Connor.
We're
It's too soon. It's too
we're
soon.
getting too into it, but I loved so many of these performances that we saw, and I to your recommendation, I would definitely recommend O Mary and Sunset Boulevard, but truly, get a bunch of gals, get a bunch of yays together, go see Drag the Musical, take a chance on Hills of California. Like, highly recommend for sure. And
Definitely.
if you can find a way to get a decently affordable ticket to Romeo and Juliet and you love Kit Connor, do it. I know we have to wrap up, but Dylan, any closing thoughts as we head into Halloween, we head into the election, we head into year five of the podcast?
Yes, my dose of drama is get out there and vote, y'all. I have been slightly political on certain episodes when I was sharing my excitement about Kamala and then about Tim Walz. Y'all, it cannot be overstated how important this election is. I'm sure if you're listening to this gay ass podcast right now, I'm sure I know where your votes lie. You're voting for the best interests of people in our community, your community. I know that mostly women and gay men listen to this podcast. I see it in the stats. I see it in who our followers are. It is so important you vote. And if you are close to anyone in your life who you know is not voting, who is saying, I don't like either of them, DM me. I will help you come up with a few talking points that you can share with them, your parents, your family, anyone. This is a hugely important election. Early voting has started in most states. I cannot stress enough how important it will be that on November, what is it, November 6th, when we have a new episode of drama coming out that morning, I want it to be the most glorious, happy day imaginable with President Harris. We cannot relive what we lived through election morning 2016, okay?
Period. Love it. I'm totally with you. And I guess my dose of drama, just to add on to that, is don't be afraid to talk about why you support your candidate. And hopefully it's Harris. And you never know if that one little conversation of you saying how important it is to you could inspire somebody else to also have a conversation who inspires that mom who was thinking about not voting or that coworker who hadn't made a voting plan yet. This sounds so corny, but y'all would not believe the amount of people who just forget to vote, forget to be registered, forget to do it, don't want to do it, they're too lazy, blah, blah, blah. I knew I was voting and it was like such a hassle to get everything together. So I'll just leave it there.
Absentee wise.
Absentee. But anyway, get out and vote, y'all. I hope you all have a happy Halloween.
Yeah, so the next time you'll hear from us will obviously be with an episode with a cast member from Sunset Boulevard on Wicked Day next Wednesday.
Yes.
But beyond that, we are coming up on our 5-year anniversary of drama this November. And so we're going to finish the year strong with a new president, exciting podcast episodes, and plenty of drama, y'all.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. We love you so much. Become Drama Plus members at patreon.com/thedramapodcast. Follow us at The Drama Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. Dylan at Dylan McDowell. Me at Connor McDowell.
Yes, and Connor, I will see you next time. Drama! Drama.